Well, hello and a very warm welcome to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post. I'm Dave Clark, he's Steve Palmer, and the dust is settling on a wonderful, wonderful Ryder Cup victory for Europe. I've draped myself in the colour. Steve, would you like to go first?
Ole, 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 ole. Cheers, Dave. No, thoroughly
marvellous.
Enjoyed it. Thoroughly
marvellous.
Enjoyed it.
Tipping performance from yourself, mate, but we'll get on to all of that. Victory for Team Europe.
Yeah, and just so enjoyable. I don't think I've ever enjoyed a Ryder Cup more. I mean, I know I get accused of recency bias, but I thought that was the greatest sporting event I've ever seen. You know, I'm billing it as that. I can't pinpoint a sporting event that was more dramatic and more enjoyable for that. I think that the measure of these sporting events is if they make you cry, Dave. I know you're a hard man, but did you cry, Dave? I mean, I shed tears. I think my mum is still crying. I've heard reports my mum is still crying. I think she's been crying ever since Shane Lowry held that putt. It's her 80th birthday on Monday. I really hope she stops crying by Monday. But yeah, what would you say, Dave? Greatest sporting event ever?
It was right up there. I mean, the sickness in me kind of wanted the Americans to come back strong on Sunday just to make a spectacle of it. And that's exactly what we got.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, the punter in me wanted that too, because we had America to win the singles on Sunday. So, yeah, I mean, it was classic Europe playing well in the pairs event. Yeah, what won Europe the cup was that, yeah. That team cohesion, wasn't it? Team spirit. You know, natural camaraderie, genuine friendships. You know, these guys genuinely sort of love each other, don't they? I don't want to get too over emotional, but you know, there's genuine affection between this group of players, and then they thrived in the pairs competition, didn't they? So they got that massive lead playing alongside each other, and then were sort of hanging on Sunday in the format that the Americans prefer. You know, the Americans like the singles format. They like playing their own ball. Europe won it as a team. Sunday was just spectacular, wasn't it, Dave? I mean, thank God for Ludwig Aubert. I mean, he came to the party when he was needed most. I mean, we needed a full point from somewhere, didn't we? And so thank God for Ludwig Aubert, and thank God for Shane Lowry. I mean, I could spend an hour talking about Shane Lowry. I mean, the way he finished that match, you know, the 18th hole is getting all the attention, Dave. Very easy to forget. He's two down with four to play, and he's finished with four consecutive threes. He's finished birdie, birdie, par, birdie. I mean, you know, and the guts it took to produce that putt on the final hole. I mean, it's just the courage of that putt on the 18th hole. I don't think it can be overstated, because, you know, I've been following Shane Lowry a lot lately. You know, we've been on him a lot, haven't we? We were on him in the Irish Open. We were on him in the BMW PGA, and he's not been putting well, and he would have had so many demons as he's waiting to do that putt on the 18th. The demons would have been circling. He's not been putting well. That's the sort of range of putt that often gives him nightmares. So you could see the torment as Shane Lowry's lying out of that putt. He knows the significance. And I just thought it was the gutsiest move I ever saw. I mean, I'm a big Top Gun fan, as you know. It's the third best film ever made now, Top Gun. Now that Happy Gilmore 2's out. But there's a scene in Top Gun where one of the pilots whispers to Maverick in the training school. And he just whispers in and goes, "Gutsiest move I ever saw." And I just wish I was around Shane Lowry on Sunday night, because I would have just kept going up to him and whispering in his ear.
You could talk about Shane Lowry for an hour. I could talk about Rory McIlroy for much longer than an hour. Now, comfortably my favourite human being on planet Earth. Just the moment in which he kind of turned around and told the crowd to settle down, should we say, and then knocks it stiff. Just incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I was glad Tommy Tiger was in the garden when he did that one, because on Saturday, me and Tommy virtually watched the whole of the Saturday coverage, but he popped out in the garden to do a bit of putting just before Rory McIlroy squared up to those fans. He's just in beast mode, wasn't he? Rory was in beast mode and leading by example. You know, the fearlessness of Rory McIlroy in the face of the hostile crowd was inspirational to his colleagues, I would say.
Do you think we maybe underestimated that a little bit, Steve? With the pair of us both said, you know, it's quite expensive to buy a ticket. Donald Trump's going to be there. Maybe too much has been made of it. It was actually probably certainly worse than I thought it was going to be.
Well, I don't think Donald Trump had much of an effect, did he? I think that was a distraction for the Americans, if anything. I mean, he wanted to walk players to the tee, didn't he? He wanted to play, didn't he? I think he was quite keen on getting a game. Obviously the crowd, there was elements of the crowd that were very hostile. I mean, I don't know how the stewarding went. I mean, hopefully they were ejected. I think lines were crossed by a certain contingent, weren't they? I've seen all sorts of footage lately that, there's some rotten apples in there. I thought Rory handled the crowd spectacularly well at times. Yeah, that time when he refused to putt until they quietened down. I mean, I thought Rory led by example, and I think he would have inspired the rest of the group. I mean, we should spend ages on this European side because so many of them were absolute heroes. I mean, McIlroy was a hero. I still want to talk more about Shane Lowry because I think the significance of missing that putt is more than people realise. You know, people are looking at the scoreline of 15-13. Lowry would have been fully aware, Dave, that if he'd missed that putt, there's a chance we lose the cup because those later games would have remained intense. Yeah, did you see Sam Burns' putt on the 18th? The first putt he did on the 18th. It was like a sort of carefree slap. You know, everyone was just waiting for it to end there. And Sam Burns whacked his lag putt way past, ended up losing the point. You know, he obviously would have stayed focused and I suspect he would have won that point had the match.
Our chances in the latter matches.
Well, had the match stayed alive, Dave, I think it would have been close. I think it probably would have been a 14-14 draw had Lowry missed that putt. So, Lowry knew that the weight of the world's on his shoulders as he's lining up that putt. And I just think the courage to hold it when, you know, he's been missing putts of that range regularly lately. I'm welling up again thinking about it. And the reaction is just a man of just so much relief, isn't it? I was concerned he was going to have a heart attack. Like he's clutching his heart, isn't he? I think there would have been a lot of people, I think Jose Maria Lafarbo needed to get hold of him and just massage him or something because I was concerned that he was going to have the greatest moment of his life and then his life would immediately end. I mean, you could see that it was the emotion powering through him. I think Shane Lowry, just gutsiest move I ever saw, man. Gutsiest move I ever saw.
Right, well, we'll get more on the Ryder Cup. You're, of course, here joining us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do remember to like, comment and subscribe. Get involved. Did you follow Stevie? Our man was in fine form on the tip in front. Very strong on Europe. We put up a tight finish. I must mention, Steve, on Sunday morning, it did look like it was going to be a landslide, a comfortable win. But anyone who is subscribed to the Racing Post Plus, the membership online, would get your tips, of course, throughout the whole of the Ryder Cup. And Sunday morning, a superb selection from yourself, calling it to be tight. 15-13. What price was it?
It was 16-1. Yeah, I had mixed feelings on the correct score front because that Sam Burns three putt meant the pre-tournament correct score 14.5, 13.5 was denied. So I was hoping Sam Burns would two putt that 18th hole and we'd get the pre-tournament correct score. But that was only 12-1. So yeah, the members guys got the 15-13 that we went for on Sunday. I mean, the favourite was a European landslide was expected by the bookies at that point. So that's why 16-1 was available. But the singles draw just worked out lovely for America. I think Keegan Bradley, we'll come to him later, made a lot of mistakes.
I'm a bit hoarse today, mate. I'm just drinking his tears at the moment because his press conference. I've got no sympathy whatsoever for him.
Well, he was certainly welling up on Saturday, wasn't he? I mean, he kept going on about the New England Patriots. I think most UK viewers were very confused. Some American football team that made an amazing comeback. I had no idea what he was talking about, but I'm sure the Americans liked it. I mean, he made a lot of mistakes early in the competition, but I thought he got his order spot on Sunday. That's why I anticipated the comeback. And the fact that the Europeans were running on empty. Now, the Europeans had invested so much. They invested so much over the first 2 days, you know, dealing with the hostility towards them. They couldn't have played any better, I'd say, over the first 2 days. It was a magnificent 2-day performance from Europe. And then on Sunday, Late on Sunday, when that wave of red on the board there, and the exhaustion, you could see even Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood was a colossus all week, four points from five matches. But even he on Sunday, that the assurance he had over the first 2 days had slightly gone.
They were the three I think that looked most jaded were Fleetwood, McIlroy, and John Rahm. They all looked spent forces on the Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, and all of them had played magnificently over those first 2 days. I don't think I can't remember a better pairs performance in a Ryder Cup than the European side over those first 2 days. And then, yeah, I suspected it would switch on Sunday, and it did. And yeah, I'm delighted for the members to get that winner. I'd like to spend some time. You're going to struggle to rein me in today, Dave, because I.
I'm donning the blue.
You look absolutely magnificent, Dave. I've got the 2008 Valhalla one. I haven't got one of them. I must get one of them. I'm just buzzing with euphoria. And I also want to talk about Justin Rose.
Yes, I was going to mention him. What a performance.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know how he manages to swing a golf club carrying balls of that size in his pants. I mean, just big balls of steel. I mean, he just, every clutch putt, he just puts them away, doesn't he? I mean, his putting performances in the Ryder Cup are astonishing. I remember in the last Ryder Cup. Maybe we need to start doing a bit of that, a bit of the aim point. But I just think that the courage he showed on the putts at the Marco Simone, and then he's just gone up a level there. I mean, there's so many highlights we could talk through, but one of the highlights is obviously that controversy when Bryson DeChambeau's caddy's wandering around. And after all that, to hold yourself together and then put it away. And, you know, that miracle up and down that Rosie did. I mean, Rosie for me is just, that Father Justin role. Just he just exudes experience, doesn't he? Experience and courage and just holds everything. And it's too early for him to be considered for the Ryder Cup captaincy, Dave. I see all the chat about Ryder Cup 2027, Justin Rose captain. Do not fall into the same trap that the Americans did with Keegan Bradley. I mean, Justin Rose, it's every chance he's on that team at 47 years of age at Adair Manor. Father Justin can be a player in Ireland in 2027. Do not talk about him as a Ryder Cup captain. Save that for later down the line. We'll come to the
captain. What was that snivelling weasel Bradley going on about when, you know, Rose was a bit wayward and he was getting involved? And listen, I know they have every right as the captain, but he was really pushing. He wasn't happy about something, and then Rose just produced the goods.
Yeah, he was keen to get involved. He was getting his eye on everything, just trying to find any angle that could help the Americans back into the contest. I mean, he was up there with Thierry Balathieroff. I remember Thierry Balathieroff at Valderrama in 1997 was just virtually involved in everything. And, Keegan was, when Keegan sensed that they were getting back into it, he was heavily involved. I mean, we'll come to Keegan Bradley's errors later. We'll come to both captains later in the piece, but I just want to talk about the more European players, because you mentioned John Rahm. I mean, I thought John Rahm was magnificent over the first 2 days. You know, that combination with Tyrrell Hatton, we had great confidence in that combination with Tyrrell Hatton. The two livers were both brilliant, won both their matches together. And then Matt Fitzpatrick, I must give a mention to Matt Fitzpatrick, emphatically justified his wildcard pick. I apologise to Matt Fitzpatrick for all my Nicolai Hoggard obsession. I was desperate to see the Hoggard brothers together. I thought Hoggard might be a more dynamic option, but yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick showed dynamism in spades, didn't he? Yeah, so many highlights from last week, but many of them were when Matt Fitzpatrick is saying calm down to the American fans. Yeah, the Americans were getting all excited about various things. And Matt Fitzpatrick, it's great when you see this little Matt just calm down, calm down. I thought Matt Fitzpatrick showed, you know, like Justin Rose, great courage at key moments, put a bad Ryder Cup record behind him. You know, I had my concerns about Matt Fitzpatrick because of that Ryder Cup record, but he's put it behind him. He's clearly got the courage for a Ryder Cup. I had to give Matt Fitzpatrick a mention. I mean,
you mentioned courage there, Steve. I mean, just the whole team is an away side. I mean, I'd get nervous on the first tee if the group behind are ready to go. But I mean, just to produce the golf that both sides did, particularly on Sunday, under that immense pressure, that cauldron of pressure, is just incredible sport.
Yeah, yeah, it's incredible bravery, man. You get nervous on the golf simulator at pitch, don't you? I mean, we were going up that last hole.
There's a lot of hostilities there, talking backswings and all sorts. I've noticed some of the YouTube commentators picked up on some of your appalling gamesmanship.
I apologise to you. I apologise to Matt Fitzpatrick. I apologise to Dave Clark because I was a bit too keyed up for that one. You know, it was my first round at Bethpage Black. Yeah, I was representing Europe. It meant a lot to me. I just think the players that we mentioned were the stars, and then Luke Donald. I mean, my God. I mean,
well, I'll put it to you, Luke Donald. We take finance out of it. Luke Donald, probably the biggest beneficiary of the LIV Tour ever in history, because I mean, if you cast your mind back, he was meant to be Stenson, right?
And he's very, very fortunate. Actually, he's very, very fortunate. What happened there? Henrik Stenson got lured by the LIV Big Bucks, and that meant we got the greatest Ryder Cup captain in history as a replacement. It's a funny old world, Dave. We've discussed this many times before. It's a funny old world, but yeah, absolutely no doubt in my mind that Luke Donald is the greatest captain in modern Ryder Cup history. Remember, Team Europe only came into existence in 1979, Dave. It was Great Britain and Ireland before that, but since Team Europe has come onto the scene, Donald is the best on either side. I mean, Tony Jacklin, the only other captain to win twice, but what's easily forgotten, not been mentioned much, Tony Jacklin had four goes at it, Dave. Tony Jacklin was captain four times and won twice. He lost his first go at it. Luke Donald's just had two goes, home and away, won both of them. Impeccable preparation. Cool, calm, calculated, respected by the players. You can see how much the players love him. I don't think there's any doubt he's the best captain ever. I think that fact means he won't accept a third term. I don't think he wants to tarnish that legacy. I mean, he's undisputed best captain ever.
I think he should go for a spin-off documentary where he goes around reviewing hotel rooms. You know, changing shower gel, you know, changing bedding, just incredible, meticulous.
Yeah, you're right. If he needs a few more quid, he could get a job advertising TripAdvisor or something, couldn't he? But yeah, I mean, the fact he spotted the cracks in the it sounds like the bed linen was poor as well. Yeah, maybe this was American dirty tricks, you know. I mean, you often hear about like waysides in football matches when the other team finds out where they're playing.
Arms,
exactly. So it might have been dirty tricks, but it just shows the meticulous nature of Luke Donald. And yeah, I just don't think he wants to potentially tarnish that legacy. You know, he's the greatest Ryder Cup captain ever. I think he'll turn down the gig. I think he'll turn down again. I see his odds on. There's been markets up, and Donald is odds on to be the next European captain.
Who's second favourite then?
Justin Rose, right. Which I think is, I think it's too soon. I think Padraig Harrington. I've seen double figure quotes about Padraig Harrington, and I think that's a fantastic bet because, Padraig Harrington is very harsh on Padraig Harrington. He's never had a home Ryder Cup, and the away Ryder Cup gig that he got was 2021. You'll remember that was post COVID. European fans weren't allowed to travel to America, so. You know, he had the 2021 gig where there was no European fans, essentially, because they weren't allowed to travel. I think it'd be harsh on Padraig to ignore him for this one. If Luke Donald doesn't want it, I think Padraig Harrington's the man because, it's in Ireland, of course. Yeah. You know, have the Irishman leading in Ireland. Paul McGinley would be a fantastic vice captain. I'd go the Irish route if Donald doesn't want it because it's too early
for
Justin Rose.
Rory McIlroy's minder, Thomas Bjorn? Who became his bodyguard on Sunday.
Yeah. He was good, wasn't he? Yeah, it was good having Thomas Bjorn in the trenches there. He just kept saying to Rory, keep going, one more hot, three more holes to go. He doesn't say much, Thomas Bjorn, but he is a big imposing presence, isn't he? He deflects some of those burgers. I mean, we're talking about the burgers being thrown. I don't think see any burgers, but I saw a drink thrown. I mean, there were moments, but... Thomas Bjorn, I don't think get the gig. I'd go Harrington. We'll find out very soon whether Donald wants it. I think by the end of October, they like to get these things set in stone early. So I think by the end of October, we'll find out. And as for the Americans.
Steve, before we get onto the Americans, what did you make of Netgate?
Sorry, Netgate?
Neckgate.
Neckgate. Sorry. I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I see. Obviously, the complaints have come in from the Americans. I think that the point should have gone to America. I think if you withdraw, then it opens the door to skullduggery. I'm not for one second saying any skullduggery was involved here, because Victor Hovland apparently was devastated he couldn't play. Victor Hovland would have wanted to play.
Of course you want to play. Yeah.
Victor Hovland is a vastly superior player to Harris English. So a fully fit Victor Hovland would be odds on to beat Harris English in a Ryder Cup singles match. It's just opened everyone's eyes to the potential for skullduggery. Obviously, if Europe had said, five of our players are injured,
we've won it in 2 years. Yeah.
we won't bother. I think that Victor Hovland probably could have played. It would have hurt, but he could have played. It would have hurt his neck, would have potentially injured him for weeks to come. But, Ryder Cup, I think the rule needs changing. Yeah, to cut a long story short, I don't want to linger too much on this, but cut a long story short, I think if you can't play, then you lose the point.
What about, is there no grounds for like a reserve to have a 13th man?
But then do you have a 14th man, a 15th man? How many subs do you need? My instinct is that America should have got that point. But America shouldn't have got that point in this case because the rules are set in stone as they are. I think the ruling does need looking at. I think it was a touch of sour grapes from Keegan Bradley to be mentioning it straight after the defeat.
Well, before we get onto the team, let's talk crybaby Keegan then. What did you make of his performance?
Well, I think he made early mistakes. I think there were some really dodgy pairings. I think Colin Morikawa and Harris English together was like a virtual concession. Such a poor pairing, and he used it twice. And then he went for the show ponies in match one, didn't he, Dave? Bryson DeChambeau and Justin Thomas. That's a strange move. They're not friends, Dave. Justin Thomas, one of the biggest anti-livers going. These two are not friends. It reminded me when Hal Sutton paired Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson in 2004. Do you remember that one?
They weren't friends at the time, yeah.
Not friends, but then Hal Sutton's just thinking, what's going to energise the crowd? So he put Woods and Mickelson out first, thinking, oh, the crowd will love that. But, they're two best players, but no chemistry. It went horribly wrong. And I think DeChambeau and Thomas was a similar move to that, just a recipe for disaster in the foursomes. I mean, the worst decision Bradley made was even before that by having the foursomes first. I mean, it's the home captain's decision on whether you have fourballs first or foursomes first. And I'm bemused. I kept checking it in the build-up to the Ryder Cup thing, and surely I've got this wrong. Surely Bradley's going fourballs first. But, because Americans so much stronger in fourballs than foursomes. Yeah. So I think he made a terrible move there because it was all about early, getting on top early. And we talked before the tournament about how the crowd will be getting disgruntled if they get off to a poor start. And so I think Bradley made a terrible decision there. I think his opening partnership was style over substance. I think Morikawa English was just a completely bemusing combo. And a lot of the pairings were a mess, but then, that's why we opposed them, Dave, wasn't it? It was hard to see any obvious pairings for the Americans. Bryson DeChambeau had four different partners last week, Dave. And I'm not even criticising Keegan Bradley for that because I have no idea who should have partnered Bryson DeChambeau. There's no obvious solution to that one. I think the best partner that Bryson DeChambeau could have possibly had last week was Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed, Europe put their two livers together, John Rahm and Cyril Hatton. Patrick Reed as a wild card pick would have been a natural partner for Bryson DeChambeau,
and that would have justified it as well. I'm picking him to play with Bryson.
I think that's the partnership they need at Adair Manor in a couple of years' time. I think Reed and DeChambeau could become colleagues. America pretty arrogant to rule out all the live guys as potential wildcard selections. DeChambeau qualified automatically. Bradley wasn't going to go anywhere near any livers as wildcard selections. But, Patrick Reed would have been much more effective on that team. But just no natural pairing. It's just a disaster for Keegan Bradley.
Let's pick out some of the players then. And we've got to start with the captain, Scheffler.
Yeah.
Just you know, coming staring at, you know, five defeats at one stage, you know, lining up on the tee on Sunday facing McIlroy, you wouldn't have fancied his chances really either.
Well, I mean, we said before the start, if Scottie Scheffler underperforms, we can't see America winning. And you know, it started early. I mean, Scottie Scheffler was not at his usual level. It was a slog for Russell Henley on a soft course at the start. So I thought that partnership would win points, and it didn't. And Scheffler, as you say, was scrapping for a point at the end there. So, yes, maybe Scottie Scheffler will turn into Tiger Woods in the Ryder Cup. You know, Tiger Woods rarely played well in the Ryder Cup. You know, Tiger Woods, great as an individual sportsman, but wasn't so good in the team events. Maybe Scottie Scheffler's going the same way, but just a disastrous week for Keegan Bradley. I can't see him getting another Ryder Cup opportunity.
Who do you think was the best of the Americans?
I just say I feel quite sorry for Keegan Bradley. Really, I mean, I don't want to be too harsh on him, because it's quite sad, isn't it? That he surrendered the opportunity to play and probably won't get the chance to play in another Ryder Cup. I'd be surprised if he qualifies.
I think he come across as a horrible human being. I don't feel sorry for him at all.
Okay. No, fair enough. I my wife's always teaching me to be more empathetic. I'm learning from my wife.
I don't like watching him play golf either. So I think that's probably factored into it somewhat. Yeah, well. I asked you, Steve, who did you think was sort of maybe the best of the Americans then from what we saw?
Cameron Young. Yeah, Cameron Young came of age. The New York native, you know.
The local.
The putty hole to beat to win his singles there was really impressive. Cameron Young's had an amazing few months, hasn't he? You know, he finally got that first PGA Tour win. And has carried that into a really impressive Ryder Cup performance. So Cameron Young could go on to bigger and better things. I think he'll take a lot from last week. Maybe the only one that does.
Yeah. Anything else to add? I mean, I've got a few stats for you, but I mean, we've covered most of them. I was trying to make, as I was watching it, mental notes of moments to bring to you to comment on, but there was just so many, and I ended up just, after 2 days, thinking, I think we've just played better golf. We certainly was better on the greens. You know, when you mentioned Scheffler, so many of the Americans' putts were just wayward. And you're thinking, well, hold on, you meant to be the home side, eh?
Yeah, we putted absolutely superbly, didn't we? And, you know, the course setup was so easy that, putting became the most important factor. Maybe Bradley will have some mistakes about that. Making Bethpage Black so easy. It didn't play like Bethpage Black. We putted well, and it just worked better as a team. And I don't know. I saw 5-6 European quotes for Adair Manor. 5-6 is a fantastic price if you don't mind wrapping up your funds for 2 years. I can't see Europe going off bigger than 5-6. But then 2 years is a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, sort of as a closing point. 2 years down the line, forget the captain, but do you think the two sides look similar, or do you think there'll be changes rung throughout?
Well, it'd be lovely if we could maintain this continuity that we've got. I mean, I don't think I mentioned it on the sweet spot, but I got it in my preview, my written preview on racingboast.com. A side with two rookies or fewer has never lost the Ryder Cup. This continuity factor that Europe have got. If you can get a side going to post with Ryder Cup experience, you've got such a better chance of winning. You know, we only had one rookie last week. America had four rookies. It'll be fantastic if we can get a similar side. If we can get the same captain, it'll be excellent. If we get the same backroom staff, I mean, the continuity was just always there. You look at the vice captains, another thing we didn't mention in the sweet spot special. The vice captains were fantastic for Europe. There's a tight vice captaincy unit there, whereas the Americans just getting all sorts of characters, you know, your Brant Snedekers, your Webb Simpsons. Let's give Gary Woodland a go. You know, it's just all so random, isn't it? And you know, we've got Eduardo Molinari, the data chief, just, you know, he's the master of data. And I've heard that the Americans sort of outsource that. They don't actually, they use a data company to help them with that. It just seems like the Europeans nail the Ryder Cup in every respect, and I don't know where the Americans can go. I mean, there's one man that I'm thinking. I've already mentioned his poor Ryder Cup record, but I think his time may have come. What better captain could they have for Adair Manor than Tiger Woods? I think the time's come for, Tiger will relish that opportunity to come in and at a time when the Americans are in Ryder Cup crisis mode again. I think I think Tiger will fancy the task there.
Well, I think the mentality of the team might change because he is the big dog, the goat, and they'll all look to him. Whereas, Keegan Bradley is, he's among them, isn't he? He's a peer to them because he's still playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need a leader who is the best of the best. And you're right. Tiger comes in the locker room and people are listening. I mean, Keegan Bradley's talking to Scotty Scheffler. What can he teach Scotty Scheffler? What can he, Scotty Scheffler's thinking, I know what I'm doing, mate. I know what I'm doing. I think that might be the route they go down. But then maybe Tiger doesn't fancy it. Luke Donald, I don't think Luke Donald's going to fancy it. Maybe Tiger won't fancy it. But time will tell, Dave. Time will tell.
We will get ourselves over there. I think no simulator in 2 years' time. Well, I think we should get on the course.
I like your thinking. I've played at Ayr Manor. I was at the JP McManus the JP McManus gathering was there. The pro am thing. I remember at Ayr Manor. Just before we move on, it's going to be a long poker. I remember I hit one shot in that where I was aiming at the wrong flag. There was a big dog. There was a dog leg left, and I saw a flag over there in the water. And I thought that was the flag, and I fired it straight into the water, and everyone was going, "What are you doing?" And I thought the worst shot I've ever seen, but I was going for the wrong flag. So, Ayr Manor, an amazing place, the best beef I've ever had there, the best beef. They hung the beef for about 5 years or something. If you hang the beef, it's more succulent and better. Yeah, the best beef I've ever had was at Ayr Manor. So, that's something to talk about in a couple of years' time.
Marvellous. Anything else to add on the Ryder Cup? We have got two tournaments to actually preview this week.
Yeah, we have. No, we better crack on or we get in trouble.
Okay, right. Let's get to it then. Let's preview the action. And we are at the Old Lady here. We have got the Dunnell Links Championship. Talk to us about the course here, Steve. We've got a few courses in rotation early doors.
Yes, we got St Andrews, Kings Barnes and Carnoustie. The Dunhill Links Championship played over three courses in Scotland. 7,318 yards St Andrews, 7,402 yards Carnoustie, 7,227 yards Kings Barnes, all par 72. So we have one round each. Then a cut is made on Saturday night. The cut makers come back to St Andrews on Sunday for the denouement. It's a pro-am, so you have two professionals and two amateurs in each group. St Andrews and Kings Barnes, much easier than Carnoustie. Make your score on those two courses. St Andrews last hosted the Open in 2022. Carnoustie last hosted the Open in 2018. But they obviously set up much harder for the Opens. They set it up easy for the pro-am. But the weather forecast is dodgy, Dave. We've got pretty bad. Yeah, plenty of wind in the forecast. Saturday looks like it's going to be really windy. They might have to suspend play at times on Saturday if it gets too bad. So this is a real test, I'd say. Six-hour rounds with the amateur element. It'd take an age to get round and the weather won't help. A field of 168 going to post, Dave. They can have a massive field because they're spread across three courses.
Right, and I'm glad you mentioned about the setup because obviously the amateur field, I don't want to make it too hard. The roll of honour recently, Tyrrell Hatton, 24 under last year. Fitzpatrick, 19 under. Ryan Fox, 15 under. Danny Willett, 18 under. And Hatton's 24 under was a tournament record, which equaled his score in 2017, which he won it. And he also won it in 2016. So are we thinking maybe the weather's going to be a bit of a leveler here and it's not going to be a birdie fest?
Yeah. I don't think anyone will be reaching 24 under par this year. Tyrrell Hatton's got an amazing record in this event. We'll come to the market leaders at the end. I'm not tipping any of them. I've got six bigger prices. Most of my tips are a long way down the betting.
Okay, well, I like the sound of that. Well, there is very much a Ryder Cup feel to the top of the market here. Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Matt Fitzpatrick and Bobby McIntyre are the first four in the market. You go with six in the team, Steve. Who's the main selection?
Tom McKibben, who must have been watching last week, wondering whether he'll ever get his chance to play in a Ryder Cup for Team Europe. Joining Liv has obviously made that a much tougher task. When he tees up on the DP World Tour and events like this one, really important for him. He must stay focused and keep that world ranking up. His world ranking at the moment is 136. Absolutely no way there's 135 players on this planet better than Tom McKibben. But that's the reality for live players who don't get to world ranking points. I can see McKibben leaping up the world rankings by winning this at St Andrews on Sunday. Northern Irishman, of course, Dave. You know, loads of links experience, loads of experience of playing in rough weather, which we're going to get this week. He finished 14th on his Dunhill debut in 2023, 43rd last year in that low scoring event you mentioned. I think the tougher conditions this week will suit him. He's a great ball striker. He's been excellent in his live rookie campaign this year. You know, he was on that triumphant Legion 13 team with John Rahm, Tyrrell Hatton. And he's impressed me in the last two DP World Tour events. He was 20th in the Irish Open, 11th in the BMW PGA at Wentworth, 22 years old, still improving. So yeah, I think a second DP World Tour title is coming on Sunday for Tom McKibben.
Very easy to get how young he is, Steve. 22.
22, world at his feet. Obviously a controversial decision to turn down the PGA Tour card and go to live. I hope we get to see him in a Ryder Cup one day, but he's going to have to do it the hard way.
Okay, right. Here's the main pick. Who is the next best?
John Parry, who finished third on his Dunhill Links debut in 2010. So loads of experience. Three-time winner on the Challenge Tour in 2024. Then he went on to the DP World Tour and won the Mauritius Open quite quickly at the end of last year. We've got a Yorkshireman here, comfortable on Links terrain. He was 16th in the Open in July. You might remember he got a hole-in-one at Royal Portrush. He had a whale of a time at Portrush. And then he was third in the Nexo Championship on Links terrain in August. I forgive a couple of narrow miscuts. He's missed his last two cuts narrowly at Wentworth and in France. Had a week off last week. I think he needed that, quite a hectic recent schedule. I think he'll come back and contend at a really juicy price this week.
Well, here's the next best then. Parry, who is third?
Wacom Lagergren, a standing dish in the Dunhill Links, Dave. Fourth on debut in 2015, fourth in 2016, 12th in 2017, third in 2019, second in 2021. The only DP World Tour title of Wacom Lagergren's career came by the coast in the 2018 Sicilian Open. He won on the Challenge Tour in Northern Ireland. He won on the Challenge Tour in the Republic of Ireland. Great at battling bad weather, almost won the Irish Open a few weeks ago. You must remember that one, Dave. You know, if Rory McIlroy hadn't held an eagle putt on the 72nd hole, Wacom Lagergren wins the Irish Open. McIlroy beat him in a playoff. Lagergren was runner-up in the KLM Open in June as well. So Lagergren has shown plenty of form lately. This is his favourite event. I think we have to row in with a standing dish.
Nice. Okay, Lagergren 32. Three more to come. I'm expecting some nice, big, juicy prices, Steve. What you got for me?
Absolutely, all three-figure prices. Grant Forrest, a Lynx master. I had a badly timed holiday a few weeks ago, Dave. I love backing Grant Forrest on Lynx terrain. And he was playing a Lynx event in Scotland, the Nexo Championship, and he won that. He's had a magnificent record on Lynx courses as an amateur. He won the St Andrews Lynx Trophy, Dave. He was runner-up in the Amateur Championship. So, you know, massively proven at two of this week's courses. He won his maiden DP World Tour title on a Lynx track in the 2021 Hero Open. Do you remember that one? 2021 Hero Open, Fairmont St Andrews. So that was a Lynx track in his home country. He's got so much Lynx form. He's an absolute Lynx master. He was third in the 2022 Kazoo Classic on a Lynx. And in this particular tournament, 10th in 2022, 10th again in 2023. So massively proven at this week's venues. The reason you're getting such a massive price, Dave, is since that Nexo win, he's missed four cuts. But very important to note that three of those four missed cuts were by a single shot, including last time out in the French Open. So I don't think that Nexo form is as far away as it looks on the bare form. You know, the course and the conditions right up his alley.
I'm struggling to remember tournaments from 5 years ago, Steve. I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, actually. So, but anyway, I'll take your word for it. Cool.
Run, Forrest, run.
We have got a badly timed holiday because you missed out.
Badly timed.
Okay,
holiday,
get over it. I'm sure it's lovely to spend some time with your family away from work, Steve. Right, two more to come then. And I'm excited because I'm assuming that the prices are getting bigger.
They are. We got one slightly bigger, then one enormous one. The next one is another Scott, Connor Syme. Will relish this assignment. Another one who's won on the DP World Tour this year, but is going off at a massive price. Syme won the KLM Open in rough weather in June. You might remember that one. He's been swinging well again in his last two starts. He closed with a 65 for 22nd place in the French Open last time out. So it looks like Syme's back to business. He was 15th in the Dunhill Links in 2017. He was 10th in 2022. So, yeah, I think he'll hang tough this week. Yeah, it's not going to be easy. Strong winds. Connor Syme, a master at controlling his ball in such weather.
Right, okay. And one final selection at a huge price.
Yes, it's Jack Senior. Another Brit. Extremely comfortable on Lynx terrain. Extremely comfortable in bad weather. This is a Morecambe lad. He won the Lytham Trophy in 2011. He's won twice on the Challenge Tour. Those victories came in Scotland and Northern Ireland. He finished fourth in the KLM Open in June. Mentioned that the rough weather in that one. He was 13th in the Nexo Championship in August on Lynx terrain. 20th in the Irish Open a few weeks ago. Missed the cut by a shot in France last time out. So, yeah, I think Jack Senior massively underrated in the bet. And he's a massive price and, a great each-way bet.
Each way a plenty. Right, a strong team there of six at some big prices. You may well notice, Steve, that I've got a slightly different background this week. I've been ejected out of my office due to decorating. I'm in my daughter, she's seven, in her bedroom, and I found this. So I found a magic eight ball, which is one of her favourite toys. So, you know, we're going to go with your six here and see what the magic eight ball tells me.
Okay.
It says, reply hazy, try again. Do you want to give us another six, players?
No, I don't think we've got time for another six, but
let's talk about those at the front of the market. As I mentioned, it's got very much a Ryder Cup feel to it. What is actually going to be left in the tank for some of these players? I'm not so sure, but we'll start with Fleetwood and Hatton.
It's a great question because this is an away Ryder Cup, probably the most draining Ryder Cup that there's ever been, potentially, given what was going on. Tommy Fleetwood's played five matches. He must be absolutely knackered. Tyrrell Hatton played four matches because he wasn't going to play in the four balls, but then Victor Hovland's neck injury meant Tyrrell Hatton came in. So Hatton had a busy week. Matt Fitzpatrick played four matches. How much of this has been going on? I mean, there would have been a lot.
I don't think they had a cup of tea after they won it.
Exactly. They deserved a stiff drink, and I'm sure they had it, and then he got a long journey over. I mean, these are obviously the class players of the field, but I just think there's reasons for taking him on. I'd say Robert McIntyre is probably the most appealing because he only played three matches last week and he's playing on his home patch. He'll be inspired by his surroundings, fantastic support. You know, maybe he'd be the most focused of the four and he's the biggest price of the four. But I'm happy to take on all of them.
That's fair enough. Anything else to add? Anyone close to being on the list?
No. We've got to get on to the Sanderson
Six
Farms.
Six is plenty.
Six is plenty.
What about, just quickly, Steve, the pairings with the amateur? You mentioned the 6 hours there. I mean, is that a bit of a factor here when you're looking at who's playing with who?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, it's just fortitude. I mean, it makes the Ryder Cup guys even more unappealing, doesn't it? Because, you know, 6 hours in bad weather when you're a little bit hungover potentially or just tired.
Jaded.
Yeah, we always get a bit snappier, don't we, when we're tired. I know that from experience. So I just feel like, it is a test of mental fortitude, this tournament, in many ways. And so it makes it even more of a disaster for the guys that are coming from such an exhausting trip. Yeah.
Right. Okay. We are going to head to Mississippi then for the Sanderson Farm Championship. Now, this is a tournament that usually gets played opposite all sorts of big events, Ryder Cups and majors and whatnot. Stands alone this time around. Where are we, Steve? Talk to us about the track.
The Country Club of Jackson, Mississippi. 7,461 yards, par 72, four par fives. It's hosted since 2014. Tree-lined, traditional, slick greens, but scoring is always pretty low. And the weather forecast here is a contrast to Scotland. Sunny, warm, calm throughout. We're going to get birdies. Eight of the last 11 Sanderson Farms champions at Jackson finished in the top 10 for greens in regulation. So churn out your greens in regulation, you make loads of birdies. Seven of the 11 winners were PGA Tour maidens. We've got a field of 132 going to post.
Okay. And I've got four of the last seven were ranked inside the top 10 for driving distance as well. Is that a factor or not?
Well, yes, these par fours are there. Yeah, it's quite a long course, isn't it? So, yeah, I think driving distance helps. I mean, if you look at the roll call of winners, there's more than one way to skin this cat, Dave. You've got Ryan Armour on the honours board, who's one of the shortest hitters the PGA Tour's ever seen. You've got Cameron Champ on the honours board, one of the longest hitters. Yeah, there's more than one way to skin this cat. But we're not recommending anyone goes around skinning cats. Look after your cats, lovely creatures.
Right. You talk of the role of honour. You list Mackenzie Hughes, Sam Burns, Sergio Garcia, Sebastian Munez, the last few winners. The market here, headed by a favourite of mine, Akshay Bhatia. We've got you, Davis Thompson, Minwoo Lee, all in there. How many are you putting up?
We've got five, Dave.
Okay, right. Interesting. So there's, if anyone want to play the each way doubles, it's racking up 30 lines this week. Who is the main selection?
Michael Thorbjørnsen, a rising star of the sport, the sort of player that Team USA will probably be relying on in years to come. I can see him becoming a Ryder Cup player. Magnificent amateur. Finished fourth in the 2022 Travelers Championship when he was still an amateur. Has twice finished second on the PGA Tour as a professional. Opened with a 63 and finished eighth on his Sanderson Farms debut last year. He was 13th in the Pro Core Championship last time out. Remember, that was a high-class field. 10 of the American Ryder Cup team were in that Pro Core. Thorbjørnsen, ready to win for me. Got a world-class caddy in JJ Djakovic. I think the time has come for Michael.
He's the main pick. Who is the next best?
Davis Thompson, who already has won on the PGA Tour. He's 2 years older than Thorbjørnsen. You remember he won the John Deere Classic for us by four shots last year. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour 2 years prior to that. Not difficult to imagine a Thorbjørnsen-Thompson Ryder Cup four balls pairing in maybe at Adair Manor in a couple of years. I think both of these guys are improving and potentially brilliant. A cold putter has been holding Thompson back this summer, but his last two spins were encouraging. 11th place in the Wyndham Championship, 19th in that high-class Pro Core Championship I mentioned. He's playing in his fourth Sanderson Farms Championship this week. Finished 16th in the last time he played it. So, yeah, I think Thompson's going to hit the ground running. They're the two main bets.
Okay, right. Third?
Bo Hosler, last year's playoff loser. Full Sanderson Farms form figures of 10, 57, 28, 2. He was the best college golfer in America about a decade ago, Dave. Turned 30 in March as a PGA Tour maiden. Yeah, surprising he's got to 30 without winning. He's an underachiever, really, given how good he was at a young age. Four-time PGA Tour runner-up, Dave. You might remember Ian Poulter beating him in a playoff in the 2018 Houston Open. That was
vividly. Yeah.
I mean, Poulter was pumping his chest and Hosler was unlucky there. If you keep knocking on the door, Bo, I think eventually it will open. And recent signs are encouraging for him. Four top 15 finishes in his last six tournaments. He was fourth in the Barracuda in July. So, yeah, Hosler's moment may have arrived.
Okay, right. Number four in the team. Two more to come then. I mean, the prices are going to get quite lively now.
Oh, I misjudged my breaths there. Ricky Castillo, a former world number one amateur, Dave.
He was only
for about a month, but it still counts. class at a young age. Now he's a 24-year-old now, trying to cement his status on the PGA Tour. Won on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2023. He's played some great golf on the PGA Tour this year. Fifth place in the Byron Nelson was the highlight. Steady form in recent weeks. Churns out greens in regulation. I think he threatens a maiden title this week.
And finally,
Hayden Springer, another maiden. Yeah, maidens have got a great record in the Sanderson Farms, as we've mentioned. I got four maidens on my team this week. Springer won twice on the Canadian Tour in 2023. Then he got a PGA Tour card at Q School. He's had five top tens on the PGA Tour since getting back on it. And one of them was eighth place in the Sanderson Farms on his debut last year. He came into that event off two missed cuts. He missed his two cuts immediately after the Sanderson Farm. So, yeah, that Jackson form stands out like a beacon. He clearly loves the course. I love him. I think he's definitely good enough to win on the PGA Tour. 28-year-old maiden to keep an eye on.
Marvellous. That is a comprehensive list there. 6 and a 5. So 30 each way doubles if you would like to play. Let's have a roundup then. If you want to follow Steve in, these are the players to follow this week. Let's start at St Andrews then.
Tom McKibben, John Parry, Wacom Lagergren, Grant Forrest, Connor Syme, and Jack Senior.
And at the Sanderson Farm.
Michael Thorbjørnsen, Davis Thompson, Bo Hostler, Ricky Castillo, and Hayden Springer.
Okay. no rest for the wicked, Steve, right? There's no week off for you. We're back in full motion again. Two tournaments, and it's never ending, right?
No, it is relentless. I think there is a week coming up at the end of October, actually, where there's no DP World Tour event and no PGA Tour event, but I think it's a high-class Asian Tour event, the Hong Kong Open. So, you're right. No rest, but that's the way we like it. Yeah, our tails are up after the European victory. It's a successful week. We've got some ammunition to play with, and
I'm not speaking out of school. You are a man in good form, right? Because there's a bullet in the gun as well.
There's a bullet in the gun, son. Yeah. What are you on about?
Well, your darts. Come on, man.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. That went well as well. Yeah. The Swiss Open darts. Stephen Bullet Bunting. I take my hat off to him. Yeah, sorry, I forgot about that and all the Ryder Cup hysteria. Yeah, I was
just completely switched sports then for a moment. But are a man in good form.
I'm a man in good form. Yeah. We love Stephen Bunting. We love the European Ryder Cup side. And we're going to have a good go this week. Because I think outsiders is the way to play this, Daniel, with the weather forecast so dramatic. Avoid those market leaders. Take some chances on the big prices in the Dunhill. And then, the Sanderson Farms bets, those top two. I find it very difficult to see those top two that I've tipped there in being out of contention on Sunday. So, really exciting week. And if you feel down about anything, just watch that Shane Lowry putt again. That's my advice. It's just such a fillip, isn't it? It's 2 minutes of action. The build-up, the putt, and the aftermath. You can't feel bad after watching that Shane Lowry putt on 18. So, that's what I'm going to turn to if the golf tips don't go so well this week.
I feel a bit bad for calling Keegan Bradley a horrible human being. So I'll take that back. I do apologise.
I'll teach you to be more empathetic, Dave.
I just got a little bit too excited. I've got the colours on and everything,
Sure.
Just quickly, Steve, what do you think the atmosphere's going to be like, when it's on our patch next time? We're a little bit more civilised, are we not?
Yeah. I think the Irish will put on a great show. They'll show out. They'll support the European side without being heinous to the American side. I think Rory McIlroy made that point that you can put off your own team. If all you're focused on is being heinous to the away side, then you can, it's hard for your likes of Scotty Scheffler. Scotty Scheffler, when he's playing Rory McIlroy, he's going to feel very awkward when they're hurling abuse at Rory McIlroy.
Embarrassed,
embarrassed and uncomfortable and distracted. I mean, I think the Irish, the funny thing is the Irish will put away a lot more drink than the American fans did last week. But they'll handle it
a lot more dignified,
They'll drink double what was drunk by the American fans last week, but they'll handle it better. They'll show sportsmanship. I think the atmosphere be fantastic, particularly if Padraig Arrington's captain. I'll start that campaign now. Padraig Arrington as captain, Tiger Woods is the away captain. Everyone getting on like a house on fire, enjoying
Sign
the
me up. Yeah.
No, I can't wait. Yeah. The countdown started now. my Ryder Cup passion is back. I lost it for a few years because as a punter, it's not as not many markets they're worth the. Getting stuck into. I prefer the bigger prices of the regulation events. But last week's Ryder Cup really won me over again. I thought it was the greatest. Yeah, discuss it in the comment section. I think that was the greatest sporting event there's ever been. I think the only rival was when Weymouth FC went to Nottingham Forest in the third round of the FA Cup and got a draw at a City Ground. But apart from that, that's the only other one that's made me cry as much as Sunday. Yeah, greatest sporting event ever.
Marvellous. Well, we are riding on a crest of a wave, and as Steve has rightly asked you to, get involved. Let us know your thoughts on what was a magical Ryder Cup. And, of course, who you're backing this week as well. Are you following Steve in? Like, comment and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.